We heard the Sousa Band in that recording of the Royal Welch Fusiliers No. 2. It was music of John Philip Sousa. And that music will be on the program on Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's the Mesilla Valley Concert Band at the Atkinson Recital Hall. Dr. William Clark will be conducting, and John Schutz, I believe, for some of the pieces. I am pleased to welcome into our studios for the first time David Beasley, who's a composer from here in Las Cruces, also a tuba player and, I guess, electric bass player, too.
Yes, I play both of those.
You wrote a piece that will be performed this Sunday. Its origins from your time in the Air Force. So tell us a little, let's hear a little bit about your musical background, and then we'll talk about this piece.
Yes, well, this piece was written while I was a composer and arranger for the United States Air Force Heartland of America Band, which is stationed at Offutt Air Force Base just south of Omaha in Nebraska. I spent 4 years in the Air Force doing that job, where we would travel around the Midwest and perform concerts there. We actually also would deploy to the Middle East, usually for 2 to 3 months at a time, and actually perform. And I had the honor of actually doing that one time. And I went as a bass player, and so spent about three months in the Middle East, performing at various places and doing that. And so that kind of was the inspiration for this piece.
Oh, here's Dr. Clark coming in. It's good to have you, Dr. Clark. You got set up with the mic. That, you know, musicians are part of the arms of our military. And my father actually served in the Royal Air Force and played concerts all through the Middle East in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's what musicians sometimes get to do when they're in the armed forces. And, of course, it serves as entertainment and inspiration.
Yep. I mean, it goes all the way back to the Bible. You know, you hear about the horns at Jericho.
That's right.
I mean, in one of the classes we took on music and actually band literature, it goes all the way back to there. And you're talking about for a long time that with military and the music, the drums and fifes and everything there.
And then when they were stranded out in the desert, you know, and everything, they got to the oasis, and they hung their harps in the willow trees, you know.
Yep.
So the wind would come through.
That's
right.
Oh, that's such a lovely image. Well, let's talk about, I've got now Dr. Clark on the third mic and David Beasley here. So this piece, I was sent the program notes about it. So it's called Global Vigilance.
Yep.
For the role of the Air Force, the mm-hmm. United States Air Force, as you see it. And the notes say, air, space, and cyberspace, the three realms that now the Air Force operates in.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yep, so this was written at a time when we were really trying to promote, the Air Force was kind of doing a rebranding of such, and before you would hear the aim high, and that's all they would talk about was that kind of role that they would provide. But really, when we were I was in there from 2005 to 2009, and at that time, they started really developing things, you know, with, you know, that's when, you know, GPS and the internet was really just expounding and everything. And so the Air Force was not only just having to be planes, but also, you know, high flying altitude things, missiles, satellites, and then also the internet. And we talk about cyber warfare and things like that. And so that was kind of how the Air Force said that they're going to operate in those realms, the air, the space, and cyberspace. You might talk to other branches of the service, and sometimes they also claim cyberspace, and it kind of works together. But the Air Force was trying to take it at that time, so that's what we were looking at.
So how do you translate that or put that into music?
Well, what I tried to do on this one, you'll hear parts that are very ethereal, very flowing, that should represent some of the air, that space. Similar to that, there's some voice actually in there with the band as well.
Zell Hartman does the voice part, and she does a magnificent job. And it's just like David said, it's a very ethereal thing, and you know there's something else there, but you're not sure what. And she matches pitch so well.
And she's a student here at New Mexico State,
right.
I believe.
Yeah.
And then the cyberspace, I was trying to think of something, you know, real digital, real mechanical, things like that. So once you get into the piece, there's these ostinatos and basically what I like to consider like the motor of the piece is a very repetitive type thing. Mm-hmm. You'll hear it in the electric bass part, and you'll hear it in the low marimba part going on. I'll have to say, originally, the low marimba part was written for an instrument that we ended up calling the boobam. I actually built a PVC pipe instrument from low A flat to first bass A flat, fully chromatic, perfectly in tuned for how, and we actually took it on tour and took apart the PVC pipes every concert and then put them back together, and they were played with flip-flops, rubber flip-flops, and you got this nice little boom sound on there, and so it actually get a really, really cool sound. And so we're doing that on marimba because unfortunately we had to use the pipe, so yeah. so those are taken up, but you get the same type of thing, and that's how that is.
But you're not playing the marimbas with flip-flops.
No, the marimba's not flip-flops. They didn't let us do that. So
yeah. Oh, that would have been fun to see.
Piece is, and you know, very honestly, and David and I have known each other for many, many years, and the piece is so difficult that under normal circumstances, I would say, with a group that meets once a week, and we have five rehearsals to get this plus the rest of a program ready, it's just impossible to do. But this piece is so good, and so well put together, and so well crafted. I knew we were going to play it once I'd started on it. It's wonderful.
Now what I read was this work was written for the Heartland of America band of mm-hmm. the Air Force, and that you've sort of reorchestrated it for the Mesilla Valley Concert Band. So it's still band to band. So how much reorchestration did this require?
Well, when I originally did it, we were actually at a point in the Air Force where we were getting downsized. And so the group uh-huh. that I came into and when I first came in was about 60 musicians. And when I wrote this piece, we were down to about 35 to almost 40. So you think about it, you have one or two clarinets on a part at that point. You have one horn, one tuba, I mean, all those single instruments. And so what I did was rework it here with the way that the community band is, more of a more powerful, more people on a part. So you're going to have that bigger ensemble sound into it. And so what I did was kind of beef up some of the woodwind parts, and you know, the brass parts were going to come out even more, and things like that, just to
I haven't counted the meter changes in it, but it's phenomenal, and you can barely see the notes on my score because I've marked so much of the meter changes. And there's 12 8, there's 9 8 and 4, there's 7 8 and there's 5 8 and there's 10 8 in 4, and all of these meters, and they make such good sense when they're put together because of the way the energy is scored in the rhythms. Uh-huh. I mean, you'll have these ostinati that he was talking about. That you'll have brass going pop pop pop, things like that that just drive everything else, and that's what everybody hangs on to. You know, and it's such an interesting, exciting piece.
He really has to earn his pay, though, on that piece. It's not just one of those that he can go and let the band do what they want.
I was going to say, that's your job, Dr. Clark. You've got to do all those tempo changes so that they can follow you.
Some things you can conduct with a gun and a checkered flag. This one you cannot.
You cannot. And the piece is called Global Vigilance, and I'm just going to repeat, it's going to be performed this Sunday at 3 o'clock as part of the Mesilla Valley Concert Band's opening concert of the season. Now, Dr. Clark, you said you've known David Beasley a long time. In fact, I think I read that, David, you were his student as a youngster here in Las Cruces.
Oh, yes.
In tuba.
Started in seventh grade, I believe.
Right. Wow, so that's really fantastic.
Well, and he went on to be All-State 4 years, in my first chair All-State, and the whole business, you know, and he just became a world-class player.
And you're also a lawyer?
Yes, I'm an attorney here with Beasley Mitchell and Company.
And how much of your time can you spend composing? Are you still composing?
Yes, I actually just finished a couple pieces for the Omaha Symphony. I do a lot of, I call them random either orchestrations or actually some compositions that I just finished. They really try to do a lot of children type work and innovative type things. We just finished one that is basically a choose your own adventure piece. So it has some different melodies that I had to do some weird things in the score, but so that the children, they could actually play them for the children and say, okay, what order do you want these in? And the orchestra will play it and let them pick it. So it's all about trying to get them involved.
Engaged.
I do recorder pieces so that they can play along with the full orchestra, things like that.
Fantastic.
And so usually it's, you know, work is generally 8 to 5, 7 to 6 type thing. So anytime after that, after my son goes to bed, you can still find time to put it in.
Wow, that is very impressive to have a full-time law career and still have time for composing. So I applaud you. We've just got a couple minutes left. Dr. Clark, you've got some other music on the program. There's music of Shostakovich, the Festive Overture, and music of Ray Vaughan Williams, the English Folk Song Suite, some music of Haydn Woods. You want to say anything else about these, just really fast, the rest of the program?
Well, we also are going to do the piece that is the most requested piece from the audience for over the past 20 years. We're going to do In a Miller Mood.
Oh, right, so, Glenn Miller.
And everybody just loves it. I don't do it very often, but it's a great piece.
And well, yeah, I mean, it's great music, and you've got a big band up on that stage to play it.
We're also doing a Scriabin piece, a nocturne that was done by Alfred Reed. The piece was written for left hand only piano, which you knew.
When you said done by, I mean, in other words, arranged by Alfred Reed,
right,
music of
right.
Alexander Scriabin. Yeah, and you've got new players this season in the band?
Because we have, as I told everybody, it's probably the best freshman class we've ever had. Bunch of really good players.
Bigger than before?
No, we lost about as many as we gained. We have about as many move away, get another job, graduate, and that we bring in.
The normal attrition. So about how many people are in the band now?
About 90, 91.
And you meet once a week?
Yeah.
So you've been rehearsing since when?
We've rehearsed five times. So just count back 5 weeks.
That's it for this concert.
That's it, yeah. And every piece can be a worthy opponent.
Yeah, I can imagine. And David, you said, I think it was off the mic, that you're also playing electric bass whole concert or in your composition?
For the whole concert, there's a couple pieces that I'll try to sneak off because, you know, I don't know how much Alexander Scriabin thought of electric bass when he was doing that.
Well, I don't know. He was kind of a mystical guy.
Yeah, he really was.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
He may have been dreaming of it.
Yeah.
Well, David Beasley's been my guest, and Dr. William Clark, and they'll both be performing. And David Beasley's piece, Global Vigilance, will be on the program Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Atkinson Recital Hall, the opening concert of the Mesilla Valley Concert Band. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you so much.